at verses 7 and 8. Okay? We just looked at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we're not using the light of God, we're in darkness and we're not practicing the truth. We're liars. Okay? Now, number 2, and there's 4 points. We're going to cover the next 2 points next week, one per session. Okay? Verse 7 and 8 say this, but if we walk in the light, that's against the opposite of walking in what? Darkness, okay? So only two choices. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Okay? Now, you have 3 divisions. I broke it up a little bit easier to understand. But there's first a requirement. Then John talks about the benefits of doing so. And then third, the dangers of not doing so. Okay? So, let's look at the requirement first. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light. That is the requirement. So what's the requirement? It's ongoing walking in the light. Okay? What's light? Light is what is true and what is holy. Okay? And how do we know that? That's from the Word of God. Ultimately, the light that we have comes from the Word of God. That's the only way you can know what is true and what is holy. It's not by consensus, not by vote. It's not by edict or dictate of anyone. God determines what is true and what is holy. He knows what's true, what is holy, okay? Ongoing walking, it says, but if we walk, that's present tense, but if we are walking, remember the word walk is peripateo, walking around. It's our lifestyle. If we live, you can translate probably loosely live, as in living for Jesus, you know, it's how you conduct your life. Ongoing, it's present tense. If we are walking in the light. All right? Now, you can picture this. Let me move this over. I need to hang this from the rafters or something and just swing it off to the side so I don't scare people down the basin or something. It's got rollers, but it's also got, I can lean it back, but it's got my coffee in it. There you go. Yeah, I could just... Anyway, walking in the light. If we are walking in the light, what does the light do? Okay, think of it this way. It's completely dark, and I have a big flashlight. Okay? You got a picture with me? It's completely what? And I have a big... Okay, I'm just making sure you listen. It's like, oh, this cocoa is delicious or something, whatever you think. Okay? What am I doing with the flashlight? I'm pointing it ahead, and notice what I'm doing here. I'm showing, because I can't see anywhere where the light's not at, I'm showing that, and it's like, look at, oh, there's a pothole. I'll step around that. Oh, and there's a big log. I'll step over that. You understand what walking in the light means? Okay? It's not just having light. It's walking by means of that light so that you can see what's ahead, you can move around, step over, or walk where you're supposed to walk using that light. That's what it means by walking in the light. That's why you say it's more than just knowing something. God's light helps us to understand our path. Sounds like an Old Testament verse, doesn't it? God should write one of those. Wait, He already did, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That verse is what this is, that kind of idea. It's showing us where to walk and where not to walk. It's showing us how to avoid, oh no, there's a precipice. I'm walking over here because that's dangerous. There's temptation over there. I'm going to avoid that. Okay? Oh, here's this. This is a good path right here. Oh, the Bible says there's somebody hurting. The Bible says I'm supposed to love other people, so I'm going to care for those people on my path, right? Okay? You understand that? Not hard to understand, the whole flashlight and walk in there. It's an ongoing walk. And notice here, it says, as God is in the light. It defines what the light is. A lot of believers have made up their own light. It's not what's true, it's what's true for me. It's what's true for you. That's what's true for you. And it's like, how can it be true for you and not for me, or true for me and not for you? If God says it's true, why would it change depending on the person? It doesn't. Morality doesn't change because you choose to ignore what God says. Okay? The light just simply reveals what is true. It doesn't change the path. It shows it is accurate and interprets it correctly because it's God's light, okay? But it's God's light. As He is in the light, it's God's light that it's talking about, not somebody else's light, falsely so-called, okay? Which is what Colossians 2 would talk about, the oppositions of science, falsely so-called. It's really not science. Science is knowledge. But if it's not true, it really isn't knowledge, is it? Okay, kind of idea. Evolution, you came from monkeys. Well, I don't care what people say. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And He says He created this. My hat's in with God. Okay. Also, too, it doesn't matter what you believe about the light. It doesn't change the quality of light at all. Fair? I think I used last week, I said, you know, if you say the sky is yellow but it's really blue, it doesn't make it yellow. We went to a pastors and wives thing Thursday night and Friday. We heard conservative political speakers Thursday and Friday, the Douglases and Jane and I. So we heard Mike Huckabee, Michelle Bachmann, Newt Gingrich, and a host of others, kind of people. But one guy was a speaker. His last name was Graves. I didn't catch his first name. But he had this very, almost eerily low voice. That was his voice. Pity him, maybe, you know, but everybody listened because it was like, you know. But he's an illustration of this. He says, you know, I don't know, he was talking about his wife, I guess. She's home and gave him some, Remington 870 Wingmaster shotgun or something. And they said, if you ever need to use it, just use it. You don't need to explain the gun to people. And they don't have to agree that the gun's any good. You know, all of that. The gun in and of it's talking about protecting yourself. Okay, I understand. But the idea is that just if a robber's coming in to do you harm, he doesn't have to agree with the gun. He doesn't have to understand the gun. You don't have to to prove that it is a gun. This guy said, just use it. And he was using the gun as an illustration of the Word of God, understand. He's not advocating violence. But protecting yourself is okay. Okay? But the idea is, he says the same thing with the Word of God. If you're the other person and you say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. If you don't agree with God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the truth. Light doesn't dim because you reject the light. It just becomes ineffective for you and you stumble and fall because you don't use it. But truth does not change based upon your view of the truth. Truth is truth is truth. It doesn't matter if it rises or falls in the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter if it's passed into law or not. It doesn't matter if your candidate embraces that truth or not. Truth does not change on the whim of anyone. Truth is truth. And God's truth is there. So understand, it's not for you to define it as He is in the light is how it's defined. It's His light. It's His truth. It's His holiness. And by the way, there's no other than that. There's no other truth but God's truth. Understand that. The holiness is defined by who God is. Morality is defined by who God is. Not, let's have a show of hands, or, well, I really love him or her, or whatever the case might be. That is not a variant of the truth, okay? I have an italicized statement there. Hopefully this help summarize it a little bit. The requirement, I put it in a sentence, letting God's light, where do we get God's light? Word of God. Letting God's light guide my ongoing, moment-by-moment walk by showing, I should say, me what is true and holy and walking accordingly. That's what it means by walking in the light. Okay? It's letting God's word be my map. I try to get some kind of acronym, you know, MAP, my action pointer or something, but it was all lame. Everything came was lame. But the idea is darkness, you have no pointers. You're in the dark and you really don't know. Without God's word, you're using your own knowledge, your understanding, which is imperfect, and guess what? It's immoral because it's impacted by your sin nature, right? So you lean toward the bad. At least if I'm understanding the Bible correctly, and I don't know you that well. I know me real well, though. Okay? That's your bent, the Bible says. So without God, you will veer off the path without question because you don't know the truth and you cannot determine what is moral apart from God's revelation. Okay? You might have a conscience, but it's not a perfect conscience. Letting God's light guide my ongoing moment-by-moment walk or moment-by-moment living by showing me what is true and holy and walking accordingly. So God's word is my flashlight, and I'm using it to respond properly. That's walking in the light. Now it goes, you got to read the Bible, you got to memorize the Bible, you got to meditate on the Bible. All that is a part of it. And it's, I wish you could just take this in, crack this open, and I wish it would stay there. It doesn't do that. Laverne and I were just talking a little bit about, my term is the fade factor. You know, I don't care how well you learn something. After a while, it just kind of wants to just run off. And sometimes it's just, you shake hands, hello, what's your name? I didn't even hear it. It just didn't even stick, you know. But even the faith factor, stuff that you know well, goes away after a while. That's the way our mind works, and maybe that's a curse of sin as well, you know, that it just doesn't stay in there. But we need to keep putting the Word of God in. That's why we read the Word of God. We meditate in it every Sunday. Is that what the Bible says? We're to meditate in it day and night. It seems to be an ongoing thing that God wants to have you look at everything from His vantage point. So all day, every day, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, God sees it this way. God sees it this way because that's the truth. That's the holiness as God revealed it. Okay. One more time. I'll read that. Letting God's light guide my ongoing moment by moment walk or living by showing me what is true and holy and walking accordingly. It's walking responsively to what God reveals. Okay. Now, let me tell you, why is this good? Because God didn't say, and it's interesting, but He didn't say to each one of us that we have to walk according to the light in order to get fellowship. Because we would have to walk exactly. Okay? Right? You have to walk in the light. Okay, you're walking in the light and God's showing you stuff. You're learning. Is there stuff that you miss because you don't see it? I'm guessing there is. I'm guessing there's things that I don't see because I have yet to reach maturity in that area or see it or whatever. Okay? But God even factors that in. In this passage, twice He does that. Okay? What's the benefits of doing this? Walking in the light. Okay? There's lots of benefits. You know, like not walking in the dark, just, you know, tripping over stuff that you can't see and all that. But benefit number one. Do I have spaces? I do for these, don't I? Okay? So this is number two on the back side. It's under benefits. Let me get rid of this so I have space. But it's number two, and then there's an A, and then a B, okay? And this is benefits, kids, so you can see where we're at. And then benefit number one is ongoing fellowship. And John says, with us, with one another. okay, one another, with one another. I believe he's talking about us and God,
And us,
and one another that way. So it's both. Okay, it's not just between us and God, but it's between us and God and us and one another. Okay? So we have fellowship. Interaction. The word fellowship, this one you've probably heard of, maybe. Koino, that's along Nia. Koinonia? Just as an FYI, the Greek, the type of Greek that the New Testament's written in is koine. Koine. You know what that means? High and spiritual. Upper, no. It actually, Jim said it. It means common. You know what koinonia is? It's having stuff in common. Fellowship. When you sit around the table, fellowship has to do a lot with eating, not always. But the idea is you're interacting. You're having time in common. You're having conversations in common. You're having meals in common. Koinonia is fellowship. You can translate this sharing. In fact, in the verb form, it's sometimes translated to share. Okay? So we have fellowship. Anyone here want to have something in common with God? Think that would be of benefit? How about other believers? Absolutely. The Bible says you need God and you need other believers. You cannot successfully navigate without other believers. The believers help you see what you cannot see with your flashlight. Does that make sense? You know, how does it say, exhort one another daily, and so much more as you see the day approaching, so you won't be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? Other people's flashlights are helping you see the way too, okay? By God's truth. So benefit number one is what? Fellowship. Having in common. Sharing. Interacting. It's a common benefit, okay? Benefit number two. What did I say? There's things that we might miss, right? Because we don't see everything. And we don't know everything. We don't even have a good, perfect measure of what's right and wrong. I don't know, you know, you probably have experienced that yourself. Oh, man, you know, I wish I would have thought that through a little more. Okay? But notice here it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and, notice this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses. So we have ongoing cleansing. Now, cleanses us, notice here it says, from all sin. And it's like, what? Yeah, where did that come in? Who's mentioned sin? John hasn't talked sin. Remember, what did we say light was? What is true and what is holy, okay? And God is saying, you know what? I saved you. I've completely wiped away the guilt that's held against you because of Jesus' righteousness. There's one small problem. Even though you're standing, you got the certificate that says you're perfectly holy because of what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus has signed it. Nothing can change that. And then there's you. What's different? My standing is perfect righteousness because of what Jesus has done. What's different? Compare this to Kevin. There's a sinful nature. I still have sinful actions. I have sinful thoughts. How does God handle that and still walk with me? And he goes, hey, walk in the light. And he sees it as a process, by the way. It's an ongoing thing. It's not something you pray and ask God, I decide today I'm going to walk in the light. Because guess what? You have to walk in the light tomorrow or this afternoon and the next day too. Okay? So it's a continual walk in the light. So you have to keep going. But where did the sin come from? It cleanses us from all sin. Well, what's the problem again? Annie said we have a sin nature. We don't think rightly. There are ways that seem right to man, but the ends are over the ways of... Okay. Okay, you lean, trust in the Lord with all your... And lean not on your... In all your ways... And he'll direct your paths. God doesn't seem to trust us. In fact, Jeremiah 17:9 says that your heart is deceitful. I'm talking your heart, not mine. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful and I've already messed it up. Sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern between the bones and the marrow and the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Implication, we can't even sort out why we do what we do on our own. That's what the Bible says. Okay? So we have that sinful bent. God saved us. That's secure. We've been birthed into the family of God. And that's why this has to be believers. Okay? God's birthed us into the family of God. Now He wants to mature us in the family of God. How does He do that? He says, I've given you the Word of God so that you have delight, so you can see what is true and what is holy, and you can live accordingly. Okay, and to the best of our ability, then, we're taking this flashlight. It's actually much stronger than a flashlight, okay? But we're taking the flashlight. Probably the dim part is the way we understand it. And I don't say that facetiously. We all understand it partially, not fully. Would to God that we can understand it fully, right? But we hold it out there, and that's how we live. But guess what? There's things we don't understand. All in favor? Yeah, okay. There's things we don't understand. Or there might be things we understand incorrectly. Okay? But we're doing it. We're walking in the light. God, I'm reading your word. I'm responding to what is true and holy as I see your word, reflecting on what I do, where I don't go, what I do, how I help people, how I care, how I faithfully assemble together. All those things are part of the light, you know, all of that. And guess what? I have fellowship with God, and God takes that and cleanses us from, what does it say here? Exactly. From all sin. And you're like, and notice here, I just want to tell you ahead of time here. Verse 7 and 8 talk about sin. Okay, so I'm going to write S-I-N in quotes here. It seems to be the sin nature. The carnal, fleshly, lust-driven part of you that the Bible says doesn't change till you get a new body. Okay? Verses 9 and 10 and verses 1-1 talk about sins. This is your bent. The sinful nature. This is sinful actions. We aren't even going to talk about sinful actions today. Next week, first session, okay? But it says, and do you understand how that works? Because you have a sinful bent. I have a sinful bent. If I am walking in the light, letting God's light reveal what is true and what is holy, and that's what guides. How did I say it in the first page here, it directs our ongoing walk. We're allowing the Word of God to direct our ongoing walk. Then guess what? My sinful bent is what? Countered. Because I want to go over here, but the light goes, ooh, stay away from there. My lustful spirit wants to go here, and it says, no, you avoid that. Guess what? The sin nature is rendered ineffective. It cleanses us from all, and this is another way to say it if you want. And maybe it helps you understand, but sinfulness. It rectifies your sin. It doesn't get rid of your sin nature. It reveals your sin nature so that you can choose right. And by the way, you have the Holy Spirit of God that enables you to do right. Do you see how that works? It's using the map on the minefield of life, okay? So that you can miss what's there and also do what's right. So instead of punching your enemy, you love your enemy. Why? Because that's what the light says. You love your wife or submit to your husband, not because either deserves it or is worthy of it, but that's what the light says, right? That's the way it works, okay? And that's how it counters. God cleanses us from all sin. It helps us stay away from things that we're not even aware of that we have the potential for. And we do. We just don't know it, okay? So benefit, number one, ongoing fellowship with one another and ongoing cleansing from sin. And by the way, if you want the details, there's no article. Let me go back to this, the sins and sin. We'll leave that there. Okay. Verses 7 and 8 talk about just sin. By the way, sin is hamartia. Dr. Kober, I said, think of ham. You know, Jews aren't supposed to eat ham, and it's sin. Okay. Hamartia. Okay, this talks about sin with no the in the front of it. Here, literally, it's the. If we are confessing the sins of us. So notice the there. This one doesn't have a the. So it's talking about sin or sinfulness. Sin nature cleanses us from all sinfulness. Am I on list? You're looking at me funny. Okay. All right. And then the light counters our sinfulness, our sinful bent, by showing us what is true and holy, which we can't come to ourselves. Our hearts do not align with God's compass without God's light. But with God's light, we can avoid what our sin nature will naturally lead us into. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? Now, God says, is there some danger? Well, let me read that last point, and then I'll get into the dangers. Walking in the light involves acknowledging our ongoing sinfulness. And that actually goes to the next one, what the Bible reveals about it. So let me get into dangers, because that actually should be down. Verse 8 says this, if we say that we have no sin, what is it? It's sin or sins? Help me out. Sin. If we say that we have no sin or sinfulness or sin nature, we have no tendency to do that. I was brought up in a good family. I was brought up in a good home. I'm part of a good church. I'm an American. Whatever the case, you know, we make better money than that. We wouldn't think of doing things like that. Okay? If we say that we have no sin for whatever reason, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now, why is that important? You actually have to admit or understand. Admit sounds like a one-time thing. It's an ongoing understanding that you have a sinful bent, that I have a sinful bent. Why is that important? Well, if I don't have a sin nature, you know, I don't really need the light. Because I can find ways through the minefield by myself. And maybe I don't go in some immoral ditch, but I might be a prideful, self-worshipping person through the end of my life, which is just as huge of a ditch, if not an entire canyon on by itself. It says here, if we say that we have no sin, no sinful tendency, no sinful bent, no negative bent as we use it in our SIN acronym. We deceive ourselves. Who does it hurt? First and foremost, it hurts us. That's like having, I don't know. The light is still the best. If you say you have cancer, but you say you don't have cancer, no one can do anything about it. But that's not really what this is talking about. The map illustration works better. You're walking in the dark without a map, thinking that you don't need a map and you can see everything you need to see. And you can't, because you are sinful, and how you understand truth is not the truth, and how you understand morality is not morality. You need the light of God's word. If we say that we have no sinfulness, sin nature, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We're not accepting the truth about ourselves. You have to. Now, let me go up to that point again that's right above the word dangers. Walking in the light involves acknowledging our ongoing sinfulness and, if you will, our ongoing dependency of the Word of God. I need the light of the Word, or I will waste my life at best. And at worst, I will take a whole bunch of people with me down the wrong path. The point underneath here, we must acknowledge our sinful bent. Without agreeing with this, we will not be dependent upon God's help to overcome it. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sinfulness. The effects of the sin nature, if you will. It doesn't remove the sin nature. It counters it. It makes it ineffective because you're guided by the light rather than by how you feel or what you understand to be true. And if we say that we have no sin and therefore no need of the light, we deceive ourselves, and of course then the truth is not in us about us or our map, or anything around us. Notice here too, you see this, there's a pattern here, or at least a common idea here, deceit. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We lie to others. Oh, I'm fellowshipping with God, but you know, this thing, it holds down my bills at home. You know what I mean? Keeps things from blowing away. We're just lying. We're not really walking with God. We're lying to others. Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. False words indicating a failure to recognize the fact. I don't, you know, I understand some people really are needy, but I not be one of them. Okay, that's wrong. And then ongoing self-deception. We are deceiving ourselves. It's ongoing deception. And again, my brothers and sisters, why would you want to live like that? Why would you want to walk in the dark? Just because you think you don't need God's truth doesn't change the fact that you do. And the last part says here, the truth is not in us. Ongoing rejection of the truth. These are present tense. The truth is presently, ongoingly not in us. Ongoing rejection of the truth and the benefits of it, freedom, understanding, etc. Everything that you get by using the light is now gone because you refuse to use the light. And therefore you're walking in darkness and you lose all the benefits that God has for you to walk rightly in an evil world, to walk rightly having an evil nature, an evil bent. If we walk, let me read this, the passages we covered today. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If you will, a relationship with God and a relationship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It doesn't remove it. It keeps it ineffective. If we say that we have no sin, no sinfulness, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Who would want to live without the light? There's no discussion here about why you should, because it's such a no-brainer that no one would want to walk in the dark. And I think people of this era would get that a lot better, because we have light wherever we go. We walk in the dark room, we flip on the light, and we don't get darkness. They understood darkness because they had darkness unless they had going out of their way for a torch or whatever, and it definitely didn't light up. They didn't have on-demand lighting and stuff, but they understood the whole darkness thing. Who would want to walk in the dark? Nobody in their right mind would want to walk in the dark, because the dangers, the difficulties, and guess what? You can't walk with a holy God who in Him is no darkness at all, for the very reason you're created is to do that. Without walking in the light, there's no reason not to walk in the light. There's 1,000 reasons not to walk in the darkness. Questions or comments up to this point? First sounds good, isn't it? And once you get this sin and sins kind of thing, it makes sense. I get now why God, you know, can help me not sin because he shows me the way, right? That isn't that hard to grab onto. Something we probably knew and just nice to have it in a different way that John puts it.
That word cleansing is the idea of continual cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that, I accepted Christ today.
Right.
And he washed me then. Now I'm doing it daily.
Right. And we need that ongoing cleansing from the sinful nature. Because as soon as we're away from the light, our sinful nature will start directing our path in the dark. But yeah, and that's why it cannot be talking about salvation. Because salvation is a point in time, birth kind of thing. This is an ongoing cleansing. And guess what? We're not even asking for this. That's a result of walking in the light. Good, good. By the way, you'll see the word cleansing again. 1 John 1:9. But he cleanses us from something else that we don't know about either. All right.